All right, Luke chapter 1. Let's pay real close attention to these verses. Verse 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. That's talking about John the Baptist. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. All right, jump over to Luke chapter 7. Look at verse 28. Luke 7 and verse 28. Now, this is Jesus speaking here. Jesus speaking in Luke 7 and verse 28. For I say unto you, among those that are born of woman, or women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Get this in mind now, not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Now turn over to Matthew chapter 11, or you can just listen if you want. Matthew 11 and verse 11. Matthew 11 and verse 11. Basically, the same thing is being said in Matthew 11:11 by Jesus. Jesus says, verily I say among you, or verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. I want to bring a message entitled, Why Was John the Baptist Great? We find over again in Luke chapter 1, in our text verse, in verse 15, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Now get the introduction here. I probably wouldn't have ranked John the Baptist number one myself. And when I look at Moses' life and all the great things that he did, how he led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and how he parted the Red Sea, I probably would have come quicker maybe to putting Moses as one of the greatest men. I possibly would have put David before John the Baptist, because David was a man after God's own heart, and he did some great things also. Maybe some of you would say, maybe Solomon, when my eyes, you might say, I thought was greater than John the Baptist, because he was such a great king. Some of you may have chosen Abraham if you wanted to put someone that you would think would be great in the sight of the Lord. Maybe the Apostle Paul. I can understand why someone would choose the Apostle Paul and rank him number one in the sight of the Lord. But I want you to know, the Bible says that John the Baptist would be great in the sight of the Lord. Great in the sight of the Lord. Didn't say great in the sight of the Sanhedrin race. Did not say that he would be great in the sight of the synagogue. Did not say that he would be great in the sight of the church. Did not say that he would be great in the sight of the priests. Did not say that he would be great in the sight of the Pharisees or the Sadducees. Did not say that he would be great in the sight of the ministerial association. Amen? Did not say that he would be great in the sight of the wealthy. Did not say he would be great in the sight of the universities or the lawmakers. It said he would be great in the sight of the Lord. Did not say he would be great in the sight of the elite. Did not say he would be great in the sight of the educators, or the politicians, or the seminaries, or the governors, or the bankers. It said he would be great in the sight of the Lord. Now catch this now, don't miss it. Your desire and mine ought to be that we want to be great in the sight of our Lord. You say, wait a minute, preacher. I want to be great at the sight of my job. No. You ought to have a desire, if you want to satisfy anybody and glorify anybody and honor anybody, that you be great in the sight of our Lord. We're living in a day when folks want to be great in the sight of education. Nothing wrong with education, but they want to be great in the sight of their education, or great in the sight of the communities, or great in the sight of the synagogue, or great in the sight of the politicians, or great in the sight of the bankers. No, John the Baptist was great in the sight of the Lord. Now, what made John the Baptist great? Now, I'm going to show you something here that can really help you if you catch this introduction. There was no church size mentioned here in the Bible that we would say, well, he was a great preacher. There were no line of degrees that was mentioned that we would normally attribute to greatness. There was no mention of any kind of talent that John the Baptist had. The Bible doesn't tell us that. Does not say anything about his looks, that he was a good-looking fella, and for that reason he was great in the sight of the Lord. Does not say that he had fame. Wasn't talking about that. Doesn't say anything about his personality, that John the Baptist had a great personality, and for that reason, he was great in the sight of the Lord. Doesn't say that. Why was John the Baptist great? Bible doesn't tell us that he had any kind of honors or any kind of titles. Now, we could understand if he had a great personality. We could understand it if he had some kind of a great title, or had fame, or had all kinds of honors, or did all kinds of wonderful things, had some kind of talent that others did not have. We could say that would cause him to be great in the sight of the Lord. Hey, something is going on in the wilderness. Listen, we find over here in John chapter 1, there's something going on in the wilderness. We find in verse 23, John the Baptist said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Something great was going on in the wilderness. Not in the streets, not in the universities, not in the community. What was going on in the wilderness that ought to grab our attention? The Messiah was being introduced. We knew it would happen because the Bible says so. We knew it would happen. Every altar that was ever made in the Old Testament pointed to the coming of the Messiah. Every lamb that was slain was pointing to the coming of the Messiah. John the Baptist introduced the Messiah. Oh, I thought it would be a professor that would introduce him, not a preacher. Certainly somebody with some kind of talent would introduce him, not a preacher. Certainly somebody that had a fame would introduce the Messiah, not a preacher. I'm surprised at the Messiah. I don't see a crown. I'm disappointed. I don't see a crown on his head. Let me tell you something. You trust him, you'll not be disappointed. Amen? You trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never be disappointed. You serve him, and you'll not be disappointed. He didn't come into this world as a king. Watch it now. He came into this world as a suffering servant. Catch the message? One day, Jesus Christ is going to come back as king. Amen? He's coming back, folks. A We're living in a time when people seem to be going in a different direction. We're living in a day when, as we were talking about in Sunday school, it looks like people have a veil over their eye. Over their eyes. They can't see right from wrong anymore. They can't seem to think straight anymore. There's very lack of interest in church. We're living in a time, we've even got, we was talking about this morning, one big church in Slidell that's talking about cutting out Wednesday night prayer meeting. Because you can't get enough folks that's excited enough about God, excited enough about the Messiah.
In 2018,
time when folks are falling away from the faith and they're not interested in the things of God, I want you to know the Messiah's coming back soon. Jesus is coming back as King one day. What's so hot about John the Baptist? I would expect diamonds to introduce Jesus Christ. I would expect somebody that owned a lot of property to introduce the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, most of the time the question is asked, how much property do you have? How much fame do you have? What's so great about you, John the Baptist, that you would have the right to introduce Jesus? What's so great about you that all these other Pharisees and Sadducees and masters of the Bible, why couldn't they have been chosen to introduce the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness? What was so different about John the Baptist that we should be interested in, that caused him to be great in the sight of the Lord? Why should we want to know at Ridge Memorial Baptist Church why John the Baptist was great in the sight of the Lord? Should we be interested in fame? Should we be interested in more knowledge? Should we be interested in more talent? Wouldn't that make us great in the sight of the Lord, preacher? No. The answer, I don't want you to miss it now, is in John chapter 3. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 3. Don't miss it. Don't miss why John the Baptist was great in the sight of the Lord. I'm leading now to what can make you great in the sight of the Lord. It's a shame some folks aren't going to hear this. John chapter 3, here it is in verse 30. Don't miss it. He must increase, but I must decrease. There it is. There it is. It's not his fame. It's not his physique. It's not his talent. It's not his name. It's not that he had something that we didn't have. But he had one thing. He was willing to decrease that the Messiah could increase. See if you can catch what I'm going to say here. To whatever extent you decrease, you become great. To whatever extent you increase, you lose greatness. Did you hear me? Try to catch this. To whatever extent you and I will decrease for the Lord, will come down for the Lord, we become great in His eyes. We're living in a day when we want greatness. We want to be lifted up. We want to be noticed. And whenever we get to that elevation, we automatically come down in the eyes of God. We need to do some decreasing this morning. We need to decrease that God would increase. Why did John the Baptist become great? I'm going to give you a few points here. Here's your message. We find over here in Luke chapter 3 and verse 18, Luke chapter 3 and verse 16, that is, something here in the Bible. 3 and verse 16. Number one, he honored the one that saved him. Look at verse 16. John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You see that? Number one, he honored the one that saved him. In other words, he got the people's eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. We find over here in Luke chapter 4 and verse 20, when they were in the synagogues, the Bible says, and he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. We need the eyes of folks at Ridge Memorial Baptist Church fastened on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to start honoring the one that saved us. We need our teachers at Ridge Memorial Baptist Church eyes fixed on Jesus. We need the membership of Ridge Memorial Baptist Church fixed, their eyes fixed on Jesus. We need every Christian, whether you be a member here or not, we need your eyes fastened on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you decrease, you will honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you and I will learn to decrease, we are on our way to greatness. See, we're living in a time when folks in our Baptist churches believe that, well, if I get just a little bit ahead of everybody else, I'll be great. Or if I go ahead and I show signs of showing maturity and showing talent and showing fame and showing intelligence, I'm going to increase. No, you're going to decrease. You see, in the sight of the Lord, we need to decrease, yes, but it needs to be something that is our choice. And we need to honor the one that saved our dirty souls. Everyone in here needs to realize that if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd be on your way to hell. We need to honor him. John the Baptist was great because he honored the one that saved him. Secondly, he was great because he honored the one who bored him. Now watch this. We find in the Bible that he honored his mother. You say, well, Brother Paul, my mama never took me to church. Yeah, but she carried you in her body. She carried you. We're living in a time when folks don't want to do what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6. They don't want to honor their mother. They don't want to honor her. Let me tell you something. There may be some of you sitting in this room, your mama's still living. You don't ever call her. Shows who you are, what you are. I'm thankful this morning I had my mother sitting right in here. I think back when I was a child, how she sacrificed for me. Amen? She sacrificed for all of us. Sometimes she would take the bad piece of meat, the meat with the fat on it. I remember that. And would make sure her kids got the meat that did not have the fat. And she sacrificed. My Bible tells me in the Word of God that we need to honor our mothers. Amen? Thank you, Mama. Not only that, but he honored the one that fed him. Zacharias. We're living in a time when folks don't want to honor their daddy. Amen. They don't want to honor the one that fed us. And my dad was faithful to make sure all these years when we were growing up, he made sure that we were clothed and he made sure that we ate. Students that are, and most of them are in children's church this morning. But we need to look at the fact that our education that we have, even as adults, should never destroy the faith that we have in our dad. Amen? I'm sick and tired of that. Folks, they go and get a college education, they look down on daddy that made sure they got through college. Isn't that something? That's a dirty shame. I mean, when we get older, we begin to think that we know more than Daddy. And we destroy that faith that we had in Him. Let me tell you something. If you can't read, He got a lot more sense than you've got, probably. Amen? I won't use folks in a church if I know they don't love their daddy or they don't love their mama. Because it's contrary to the Word of God. The Bible says honor your father and your mother. Allow your parents to be increased instead of you increasing over them. We're living in a day when folks grow up, they begin to think that they're better than their parents. Let me tell you something. My Bible tells me, John the Baptist said, he decreased, that the Lord would increase. And we need to decrease as children, that our parents will increase as they get older. Some of you have mamas and daddies and you don't even call them on the phone. Shame on you. Shame on you. Not only that, but number four, John the Baptist honored the one who made him. Now watch what I'm going to say. I'm going to give you a little character test here. See this morning how much you respect those that helped you the most. I think what I'm going to tell you now. There are no self-made men in this room. There are no self-made women in this room. I think back through the years, you think of how people feel about maybe their pastor that helped them, that led them to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think back of the one that helped me when I first started preaching. An old man by the name of Joe Butts. That's an odd name, but that was his name. And he was an old-time hellfire and brimstone preacher in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I'll never forget how that man influenced my call into the ministry. He was an old-time hellfire barn burner preacher. And I said, boy, if I got to preach, that would be the kind of preacher I would like to be like. And he was responsible for helping to form me. Now watch what I'm going to tell you. Don't miss it. See what the kids say about their teachers that helped to make them what they are. Think about that. Think about those that God used to help you as a born-again Christian. Do you still honor them? Or do you now put them down? No one in here is self-made. You didn't make yourself what you are. God uses people to help make us what we are. I'm not a self-made preacher. Nobody is great who think that they made themselves. I'm not self-made, and neither are you. And I want you to know that I'm nothing. Jesus is everything. Amen? You're nothing. Jesus is everything. I must decrease that Jesus must increase. You want to be great in the sight of the Lord? You're going to have to come down a notch or two. Going to have to decrease a little bit. It's time we decrease this morning. I must decrease. Jesus must increase. I must decrease. My mama must increase. I must decrease. My daddy must increase. I must decrease. And my people here must increase. Ooh, you mean preacher? For you to be a great preacher, you're going to have to decrease. Yes, sometimes I've got to decrease. And I've got to uplift you. And I've got to elevate you. And I want you to know if you want to be a great Christian, you're going to have to learn to decrease. Come down a notch or two. Quit thinking you're better than someone else in the church. Learn to come down. Learn to decrease and allow others to increase. That is how John the Baptist became great in the sight of the Lord. He decreased that he might increase. He says, I'm not even worthy to loosen the shoestrings or the latchet that's on his shoe. He tells you something. You're not so hot like you might think, some of you. You may be important in the community, but in God's sight, how important are you as far as your position with him? We need to stand in honor of some folks in our lives. I stand in honor of some of the saints that I knew throughout my life. And I'm not talking about the New Orleans saints here. Amen. And folks be quick to honor them, you know. But I stand in honor of saints that I knew that affected my life, like Esther Rogers, for one. You don't know her. That woman stood by me, throughout my ministry. Nobody could say anything about Brother Paul. If somebody would say anything negative, she'd tell them straight, you don't talk about my preacher. And then she contacted lung cancer. For 1 year, I was by her side. She's close to 65, 66 years old. And I was by her side, and I wanted to uplift her and help her to get strong and encourage her because she was dying. And I'll never forget that morning she says, Brother Paul, I'm going home tonight. I said, you are? Okay. And I want you to know that night she went on home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And at her funeral, it wasn't a funeral service, it was a coronation service. I stand in honor of Sterling Montgomery. You didn't know him either. But he was a man that I knew from the very time that I started basically preaching. He sat under my ministry. He was another man. Nobody could say anything about Brother Paul. He too contacted lung cancer. I love this man. He loved me just like I love Esther Rogers, and she loved me. And by the way, they both smoked. You say, boy, weren't you against them? No, I love them with all my heart. They love me. But they had this problem, which like some of you have. And they all told me, I wish I'd listened to you, preacher. Because you love me, but I didn't. But Sterling, I was by his side every day also. For one whole year, I was by his side. And he loved me. I loved him. And his wife called me that morning, come on over, Brother Paul, Sterling's dying. And I went over to his house and was looking right at him, and I got over him and I held his hand, and he took a couple of his last breaths and died. Went on home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I stand in honor to Sterling Montgomery. I stand in honor to Thomas Newton and some of these great men that have stood by me through the years. I could go on and on, stand in honor of people that's helped me. I stand in honor to Dr. Percy Ray, a great preacher that gave me advice. He was in his 70s. A pastor doesn't have a pastor. Oh, by the way, think about that. A pastor doesn't have a pastor. Once in a while he may know of a great preacher that's older than he is that he could go to for advice. And I'd go to Dr. Percy Ray if I had a problem. And I'd say, how would you handle this? And he would give me his advice. I stand in honor of men like Dave Reese. You don't know him, but he was my professor at Open Bible College. And he was one that said, you don't change from the Word of God. You stick with the King James Bible. That is the Word of God. And he kept burying that in my mind over and over and over. You don't turn. He would tell students, you come to this college,
and you don't think that that the King James Bible is the Word of God, then just go on walking. In other words, there was no room for opinion there. You either believed it or you didn't go to that school. I honor my grandmother, Claudia McNabb. Yeah? I never forget, and I've told you this before, the times that I would see my nanny on her knees every night praying, and she'd pray for her grandson, Paul. She'd pray for all of her grandchildren and her children. She had a great impact in my life. And about 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, I went down to the graveyard here in Slidell. You know, I hadn't been there for years, and I just went there and walked right to it. You say, what did you do? We had a talk. You do stuff like that, preacher? Yeah, I'm crazy, but I still do it. Amen. I was just talking like she was still alive, like we used to talk. I stand in honor of my grandmother. I stand in honor of the saints of Ridge Memorial Baptist Church here. Most of you were not here, but years ago, this church had an impact in my life, and I got saved as a part of this church, and this church had a great impact in my life. Back when I was a teenager, and I always looked at Ridge Memorial Baptist Church as where it started. Now I'm pastor of the church. You say, preacher, is that part of the reason why you're back here? Yeah, I feel like I owe this church some things. Because they had such a great part of my life. And they didn't hardly know it till later on in life. So I stand in honor of this church, and I stand in honor of my Sunday school teachers here. We don't have too many at this point, but we're all doing a good job. Stand in honor because they make and help create situations that are good for this church. I'm talking about the pastor must decrease, that others in the church must increase. I honor the people that stood by me at Victory Baptist Church at Caruthersville. Many of them I'm talking about, boy, you couldn't say anything about Brother Paul either. Said something negative. Man, you got a good tongue lashing most of the time. I stand in honor of the folks that are faithful in this church, and I stand in honor to all the husbands in here and the wives in here that are faithful. We need to stand in honor. I'm nobody, remember, but Jesus is everything. I must decrease, but the one that saved me must increase. I must decrease, but the one that bore me might increase. I must decrease, that the one that fed me might increase. I must decrease, that the one that made me. And I'm not talking about Jesus Christ for me. I'm talking about the people in my life that made me what I am today. I must decrease, that the ones that's helped me must increase. Help us in this room to decrease. I'm telling you this morning, I don't know if this message made a whole lot of sense. I hope it did. Maybe it wasn't spectacular. But I'm trying to tell you, if we'll learn in this room to decrease. Decrease. That others might increase, we will learn what John the Baptist did. Learn what it meant that he was great in the sight of the Lord. I could look at all of you in here, and I just say, tell everyone in this room, all of you that I see, I want decrease that you'll increase. Because I love you. I love you. And if you look at the same thing, whether you're looking at me or whether you're looking at the one sitting next to you, learn to decrease. Decrease and others may increase. That's the trouble today with America. We all want to increase that others may decrease. We got it backwards. You may be great in the community, but there'll never be any greatness in the sight of the Lord. We need to decrease that Jesus might increase, like John the Baptist did. You say, Brother Paul, what can I do? If there's any reason to come to the altar this morning, come and decrease. Say, Lord, I'm going to decrease today. I just want to learn how to decrease the rest of my life, that you'll increase, that others will increase. You see, it's sort of like you hand me something and I hand it to someone else. I'll give you an example. I say, Brother Paul, well, that was a real good message that you preached. And usually I'll say, well, thank the Lord. What am I doing? You're increasing me, but I'm turning around and decreasing that the Lord might increase. That's what we need to do with each other. So I look at all of you as greater than I am. Robert, Jerry, David, you women in here, you're something, I'm nothing. And I thank God for you. That's what I'm talking about. Boy, you say, preacher, that really puts you down. No, 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 no. John the Baptist was great in the sight of God. And I just want to say that. We must learn to decrease, that others will be elevated. And God will see to it that in His eyes, you've turned out to be a pretty good Christian. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I think some of you were...